You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What is up, TV family? Glad to have you all watching. It should be the best 90 minutes of your life. This is Shady McCoy in the fresh red. Shady, I like that. I'm not even gonna lie.
This is my bet. Oh, wait.
This is your what?
This is my Rockefeller outfit.
Eagles all-time rushing leader to my right, two-time Super Bowl champ. To my left, James Jones, Super Bowl champ himself, NFL receptions leader in 2012. It is about to be a great day of television. But first, we got to start with an interesting soundbite from the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, who made a comparison to LeSean McCoy.
What he said?
Y'all going to love this.
I think with Saquon, one of the things we always talk about, whether it was LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook, is the value of a running back. It's not even the word of the title running back. You have to be a great passing attack running back as well. For us, it's got to be multifunctional.
Whoa. Wow. Shady, those are large words, awesome. America. The person to my right is the all-time rushing leader for the Philadelphia Eagles. Only 32 franchises in the NFL. If you lead a team all-time in rushing, you're doing something incredibly right. He just said that Saquon Barkley and he said LeSean McCoy in the same sentence. Saquon's one of the biggest names this offseason in the NFL. Shady, what you think of the comparison?
That was some big numbers, some big names, some big words, wasn't it? Whoa, some big shoes.
High praise.
Nah, but Saquon, he's that good. I truly believe that. When he came there, I was super excited, right? We've been texting and talking about it. And hell of a player, right? Big name, come from that big market with New York. You see things he did in college, and I think he'll do the same thing with us. Better team, better line, a lot more offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to put up some big stats.
Here's my question, though, family, because what the viewer at home knows is talent. Talent is cool. But again, at this desk, it's all athletes at this desk. 25 years of NFL experience, 21 to my left and to my right. I have my four. Shady, what will it take for Saquon to actually live up to the talent?
Hey, that four count, though.
The new count.
You can't act like that's
best intention.
Bro, that's four count, though. Get that straight right now.
Racking up in a minute.
Right. What will it take for the talent to materialize? Yeah. Because we know all the talent. That's cool. It's irrelevant. How can he actually become the next Shady McCoy in Philly?
You know, my biggest thing in my career is, you know, I credit my Buffalo years more than my Eagle years, right? Now, obviously, I feel like I was a better player with the Eagles, but I had so much more help, right? Listen, you got a guy like DeSean Jackson on the left side. You got Jeremy Mack on the right side. Then Brent Celek is the tight end.
Yep.
Then you got guys like Michael Vick. And I go to the offensive lineman. You know what we had in Philadelphia. It makes it a lot easier. So I don't need 25, 28 carries to get busy. I went to Buffalo. I didn't have all that, right? And I love my teammates, and I won't say nothing bad about them, but it was a lot harder. I had to go out there and get all the carries and get beat up because I have to put the stats up there because I didn't have the help. Saquon going from the New York Giants, they don't have a lot of good players. I mean, I can't even name that many, right? Yeah. I think his best time when he had Odell Beckham, right? When he was younger, you got so much more attention on Odell. Now you come to the Eagles, you're not going to be the best player on the team, right? Mm-hmm. On offense. A.J. Brown, I think, is the best player.
Yep.
All pro the last couple years for a reason. So now when all the attention goes to Saquon Barkley, or I'm sorry, all the attention goes to A.J. Brown, Saquon get busy in the passing game, in the running game. Mr. Lurie talked about being versatile. Right, and Brian Westbrook was a great example for me to learn from.
Yeah.
He could catch the ball, he could run the ball. So when we want to throw a ball a lot, right, and we're not running the ball, can we still get Brian involved? Yes, you can. When they go to double team A.J. Brown and they might have a bracket coverage on Smitty out there, you go to Saquon Barkley, the linebacker? Are you serious?
Yeah.
So I love the move. I think when you play with a team that has more help you can do more with less, and less as in less touches.
Here's the bigger conversation, James Jones, because we're looking.
Ooh, is that a young 25?
That's a young 25. The Shady McCoy highlights.
No, hey, Saquon, hey, dog.
Get this. Out of space.
Get in the field room, bro. Did you see, ooh, in the snow and the rain and the hell, hey, whatever, no matter what it is, it's going to get busy. You feel me?
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, bring us on camera because I got to transition because James, Nick Sirianni, he is at the helm of everything in Philadelphia. His first year in Philadelphia, they went to the playoffs. It was cool. I believe they were 9-8. Got blown out by the Bucks, but the Bucks, Shady McCoy's Bucks, if I'm not mistaken, go on to win a Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni, his next year, he goes, or following years, he goes to the Super Bowl, but he loses. Yeah. Then last year, it didn't look good. Is this a make or break season for Nick Sirianni?
I think it depends how it looks. I do. If it looks like it looked last year, he's out of there, right? Ooh. And if you go on a stretch to where you playing bad football.
Even though they won 10 games last year, if it looks like it looks.
10 games and you look the way you looked last year, where your quarterback's not playing good football,
okay.
Your offense is not playing good football, your team is losing to the Giants and teams like that that are not even good, he will get fired. Another reason he will get fired is if your quarterback don't take the next step. We are all sitting here waiting for Jalen Hurts to kind of take that next step. He came off an all-pro year, and then last year we can sit here and say, okay, he lost his offensive coordinator, right? That's hard to do. You learning some new plays. The way the offensive coordinator's calling the game is totally different than your past coordinator called the game. All that's understood. You're an offensive coach.
Yeah.
We just talked about Saquon Barkley and every down back. We just talked about A.J. Brown being the best player on the offense. We talk about Smitty. We talk about Goddard. We talk about the offensive line. What else do you need on the offense for your offense to succeed? And you're an offensive coach. So if it looks like it looked last year, he will get fired. If the quarterback don't take another step to getting better, and he looks like he's getting better at the quarterback spot, I think he could be looking for another job as well.
Ooh, here's my fear, LeSean McCoy. You are the representative eagle at the desk because you were there longer and you are Shady McCoy. You need no explanation, no introduction. Did Nick Sirianni catch lightning in a bottle? It's my fear, Shady. I think about Nick Sirianni in Philly thus far, how I think about Dan Quinn in Atlanta. Dan Quinn in Atlanta was a good coach.
Yeah.
He had one great year. Kyle Shanahan was there. Then Shanahan left. He won 7 games. He won 7 games. He went 1-5 or 0-5. He got fired. So Dan Quinn had a great season.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni's had a great season, but a great season don't make you a great coach. Mm-hmm. A great year don't make you a great player. Shady tells this to me all the time. Acho, stop praising all these dudes.
Yeah.
Stop praising all these dudes because they had one good year.
Yeah.
Anybody can have one good year. Acho, put together a body of work. I'm thinking to myself, but Shady, it's hard to have one good year. I didn't have one good year. But Shady's an all-decade player. So it's easy for him to say, hey, big dog, anybody can have one good year. Show me 10. Show me a decade. At what point, Shady, is it a make-or-break moment? Is it a make-or-break season for Nick Sirianni?
I got to disagree. I don't think so. Mm. I think he's done well as a coach here in the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, since he's got here, all he's done is win. Right, he's winning. Got better and better and better. Now, last year had a slow ending. Right, it didn't end the way we wanted to. But as far as being a coach, man, when you think of a head coach who has success, loses both of his coordinators, right, and he's still a young coach, anybody would struggle with that. Your quarterback, who's always been getting better and better, been like an underdog, Jalen Hurts, had a slow year. Let's be honest with it. I think that if he played better and the defense played better, we won't be having this conversation. Right, so I think moving forward, we have some spots to fill, though. I think we are a really good roster, but Kelce did leave. He did retire, right? Yes, he did. Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
You got a replacement there, with Jordan, but he still retired.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the defense. Secondary, we didn't play well at all. We didn't tackle well. We didn't play well. I think we addressed that, you know, with some pieces we added, you know, from drafting, and also I think with the new hiring and the D coordinator makes a difference. But I just think right now Nick Sirianni is doing a hell of a job, and to say that we are going to fire him if he don't have a good year is crazy.
Here's what you're saying: if they don't make the playoffs, he's still there?
Well, I don't even think that's like an equation. I don't think that's even like a scenario.
Oh, it can happen.
They're going to make the playoffs.
It can happen.
He's never in his life missed a playoff.
But you in Philly.
He's never in his life missed a playoff.
Matters. So one and done in the playoffs, he's still there?
It's like seeing me get smacked in a hole. You're never going to see
him. He just went one and done in the playoffs.
That's
one
right.
And done in the playoffs, he's still there?
Next year? Or this year coming up? I can't see that. See, we gotta talk like realistic. I know, but like, but I'm saying, like, let's be realistic here, though. I can't
Shady,
see
the, it just happened.
I can't see the Philadelphia Eagles, but that year was like we didn't believe that. You was the same guy, and we were playing bad. They're still winning games. They're still this. They're still
no,
that.
Was,
you
was that
still
was
believing?
You.
No. You was. And then when they started losing,
tell him, man.
He kept saying, when we were rating these teams, we still had them in the top tier group, even though they weren't playing well.
Acho did. I said that the Philadelphia Eagles is in trouble.
Here's my question, though, fellas. Here's my question is, at what point, particularly for you, Shady, I'm looking at Nick Sirianni saying, show me what you do well. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say is, show me what you do well. I'm not saying Nick Sirianni can't coach. I think he can. But this is going to be a fascinating year. Because can you hire well? I got to find out. You hired Sean Desai to be your defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Came from Seattle. Then in the middle of the season, you demote Sean Desai and you promote Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia, he was formerly a head coach of the Detroit Lions. Matt Patricia showed up 6 months prior. You promote him. Then Matt Patricia and Sean Desai both get fired. Now you hire Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio came from Miami. He was in Miami for 1 year after being relieved of his duties as a head coach of the Denver Broncos before Nathaniel Hackett got there. So Sean Desai, then Matt Patricia, then Vic Fangio. So do I trust Nick Sirianni to hire? Shady, I'm confused. Then do I trust Nick Sirianni to be able to implement? Because he lost his offensive coordinator to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
And then you get a new offensive coordinator. Then you get a new offensive coordinator. So you got three offensive coordinators in 2 years, and you got four defensive coordinators in 2 years. I'm just wondering, how do you trust him to hire?
Okay, so we got to be honest here, right?
Okay.
When we got rid of Andy Reid, I was so mad and upset because everybody kept talking about, well, his time is up here. He's been here for so long, we haven't seen the Super Bowls. But I said, that's cool, you're right. But we got to talk about the players too now. Right? Because I'm telling them guys, whoa, hold up. We going to blame Andy Reid for drop passes, fumbles, missed blocks, missed reads by the quarterback?
No.
We going to blame Nick Sirianni for the way that defense played? Right? He ain't out there tackling. He ain't out there showing no effort to tackle. He's not out there having freaking coverage miscommunication.
But that's how all
coaches hold on, on offense. Hold up on offense. We pay our players, right? The best personal team, they get paid because they are that good.
Yeah.
I need the same results you did the year before you got paid.
Yeah.
I need the same thing when you get paid.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts did not hold up the end of his bargain this year.
No, he didn't.
And we going to blame Nick Sirianni for that?
I believe
brother was all pro.
That's how all coaches get fired, though, Shady.
I believe this, though. I believe players are a reflection of their coach. I believe that. I think players are a reflection of their coach.
I believe that as well.
So defensively, I won't blame Nick Sirianni because you are right. What I will blame Nick Sirianni for is putting those different coaches in positions who shouldn't have been in those positions in the first place. That's the only place I'll blame Nick Sirianni. But transitioning...
I do blame coaches for not putting players in position to win, right? Or not holding them accountable. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is your main star players, Andy Reid had to say certain things to get Patrick Mahomes going, right? He may have games where he might struggle, but yo, for the whole season, I need you to hold up the end of your bargain. Travis Kelce, he was up and down a little bit this year. But when we needed him to deliver, he did it. So all I'm saying is when you're star players, they got to hold each other accountable. The coach cannot control that.
And I understand what you're saying, but that's how coaches get fired. Like, ain't no coach ever went out there and caught a pass. But when your team loses 6 out of 7 games and you're not winning and those players on the field ain't making no plays, that's how you get fired. We gave him kind of a pass last year. New DC, new offensive coordinator. The GM has let you hire new people. You have a new offensive coordinator that you wanted. You have a new defensive coordinator that you wanted. You have a new offensive piece in Saquon Barkley. If you can't get Jalen Hurts back on that all-pro track, looking like he can play this game at a high level, or if you lose 6 out of 7 like you did last year, there's no way he's the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles next year.
Well, let's quickly move to the NFC East, another team, the Dallas Cowboys. They made a big splash. Well, they didn't actually make any splashes this offseason. Jerry Jones has publicly asked head coach Mike McCarthy to do more with less. McCarthy's in the final year of his contract, but doesn't seem to be stressing, saying, quote, don't feel bad for me. I don't see it as pressure, close quote. Privilege to be sitting up here with James Jones. James, you won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know McCarthy better than anybody on daily national television, so you tell me. Has Jerry Jones given Mike McCarthy enough to succeed?
Let's hear this.
Yeah, Mike got everything you need. Mike,
and more, right?
Mike has everything you need, right? You got a really good defense.
Yep.
You're going to draft whatever you need to be able to put in place on the defense and on the offense, right? It's only a couple pieces you really do need, right? You need a running back, maybe another receiver because you lost Gallup, and you need a linebacker. Other than that, you got Diggs coming back. You got Bland on the other side. You have a really good defense. So Jerry Jones has given you a really, really, really good roster to go out here and win games. And if Coach Mike doesn't win games, and Coach Mike has had a lot of success in Dallas since he's been there, kind of like another coach we just talked about had a lot of success in Philly. But if Coach Mike don't get it done, especially in the playoffs this year, he gone. He's gone. Coach Mike has to deliver in the playoffs, and not just one win. He is going to have to get two wins in the playoffs to keep his job out there in Dallas. I truly believe that. They already said they not signing Dak Prescott, you know, this season. Who knows what's going to happen with that? So he's playing on the final year of his deal. Mike's in the final year of his deal. Mike's going to have to deliver, and he has all the pieces to do that to succeed.
Then why isn't he doing that? Because you think Mike McCarthy is one of the greatest coaches currently coaching. I do not agree. You have tried to convince me. You swayed me a little bit. I don't agree. But if he does have all the pieces, Shady's brought it up. You got Bland, you got Diggs. At defensive line, you got Parsons, you got Lawrence. Yeah. Offensive line, you got Tyler Smith, you have Zach Martin. Yeah. Quarterback, you have All-Pro this past year, Dak Prescott. Wide receiver, you have CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. He has all of these pieces. Yeah. If he's as great as you tell me he is, because I tell you Kyle Shanahan's great, I can show you why. Yeah. If he's as great as you tell me he is, he got all these pieces. Mm-hmm. Why not winning?
That's a really good question. Like Shady just said, I blame the players. No, I'm playing. That's a really good question. I don't have the answer to that. I truly do not have the answer to that. Coach Mike has not got it done in the playoffs.
You know his name.
He didn't get.
You know the problem. You know the player. You said players. You go, I just said the player.
You ain't even going.
We know his name and we know his number.
listen. Coach Mike had Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. The last 4 or 5 years, he couldn't get it done in Green Bay. The couple years he's been in Dallas in the playoffs, he can't get it done. So I don't know what to touch on, what to point at. I'm not just going to point at Dak Prescott like my man in the red jacket. But Coach Mike has to do something to get his teams to play well in the playoffs. They dominate in the regular season. His teams play extremely well in the regular season these last 5+ years. And in the playoffs, they don't. So Coach Mike has to figure out a way to get these dudes going in the playoffs to be able to play at a high level. And I don't know what the answer to that is, Acho.
Shady, do you? Jerry, has he given McCarthy enough to succeed?
What else you need? You got more than enough. That's what we're talking about here, fellas. Is this a locker room or is this a locker room? What else you need? Yo, everywhere you look at, they got players on players on players. They got balls on balls on ballers. Everything they got from players they got from free agency, guys they drafted, guys they groomed, guys that show growth and development, they got everything they need over there. Yeah. So what is the real problem? Let's talk about it. It's the reason why they didn't pay that boy all that money. They sat in the office and said, you know what? Every year we're giving Dak Prescott everything he needs to be a successful winner and quarterback in this league. Regular season does great. When it gets tough, it gets hard, you can't find him. So when you ask me, has he gave McCarthy enough? Yes, he gave more than enough.
So
nine all pros.
So are you saying?
You know, real quick, though, on my all pros, I'll be with players and all that, and they announce it. You know, he made all pro. It don't be nine of them, though. Yeah. It'd be like two,
yeah,
three,
yeah.
One. Think about it, though.
Talking about team meetings. Yeah.
Even the Pro Bowls, right? When this one, the Pro Bowl was really the Pro Bowl. Yeah.
No doubt.
All right, guys, you know, the Pro Bowl, you know, here's the Pro Bowlers this year. Everybody's looking around. Got Shady.
Yep.
Good job, Shady.
Yeah. Jason Peters.
Got you. Kelsey.
Alternates. We got alternates.
They have staff. Nine of them, though. So when you ask me this question, he's giving this guy everything he needs.
So really quick.
And he gave him some paper.
So are you saying that you should stick with Mike at the end of the year and let Dak walk? Because you keep pointing at Dak. So if they have a winning season and lose in the playoffs, are you saying keep Mike and let Dak walk?
I like Mark McCarthy, though. I like him. I think he's a good coach, smart guy. You see the difference in all the quarterbacks, right? I thought Kellen Moore was a hell of a coach, coordinator, and I see what Mike did with Dak. I was like, wow, it was impressive. I watched how he slowly gave him more and more and more, right? Small game plan in the beginning, real conservative because he threw all the picks the year before. He let the playbook get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm like, wow, Dak looks pretty good. So I would keep him because you might have to get a younger quarterback depending if they don't sign him or not.
True. Yeah. Well, when we return, it's really one of our newfound favorite segments. We're going into the locker room. Only show you those things. Got all former athletes talking and we going to talk. Join us in the locker room because Draymond Green, he got ejected in the final minutes of a crucial, or in the first minutes of a crucial game last night. Are we tired of Draymond's antics? That's next on Speak. Don't forget, check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel, Sirius XM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, family? We are back in the locker room. Y'all already know what time it is.
Yo, Coach was tripping today.
He was.
Talking about extra conditioning. Boy, I need my legs for Sunday, man.
Hey, let me hit you right back, though. I'm gonna show
him. You know, we gotta rap real quick. My bad. Let's shut the music ball.
What's that, Meek Mill?
All right, now look, family, what we got to talk about in the locker room today, Draymond Green once again got ejected. But get this, less than 4 minutes into the game. Remember, Warriors are battling just to stay in playoff contention. They're facing the Magic. Magic are 42-30. And Wiggins was called for a foul. Andrew Wiggins. Draymond Green gets back-to-back texts less than 4 minutes into the game. Next thing you know, he gets tossed. Steph Curry got eye water leaking from his eyes. He's crying. It's Draymond Green's fourth ejection of the season. As a teammate, what are you all saying to Draymond? It's the locker room, so keep it real with them. Yeah. Keep it real with us. Yeah. What y'all saying to Draymond, 2-5?
Bro, you hear about Dray? He just tripping, eh?
I ain't doing this right here. You know what I mean? I'm going to holler at him first, and then I'm going to talk to y'all. You know what I'm saying? Whoa.
Man. But my thing is this. Like, when you got so much invested with a teammate, because we all are teammates, but my relationship with you is going to be different than with him, right? Especially if we really on the same level. And him and Draymond are kind of on the same level as far as the team base. And it's like, bro, if you love this game, right, and you want to win and everything we've been through all these years, show me. Don't tell me. Show me. Yeah. I'm tired of you going out of here acting like that. And I'm a Draymond fan. But at some point, I got to hold you accountable. Like, bro, we trying to make the play-in. I need you. Yeah. And you know that. And I look at it. Steph Curry is not a guy with that type of attitude. Like, even when he was trying to get in the middle of the ref and Draymond, he didn't really say much. Yeah. That's not really his personality. But I'll tell you this, when they won them championships, a guy like David West, he was there. Mm-hmm. He's an enforcer. Yo, bro, chill out. You know what I mean? It ain't like he's scared. Not. It's just like that's who he is. Boogie Cousins, a guy like with that type of attitude can control the situation. Like, hey, bro, we need you, bro. Don't worry about that. He tripping.
Do you blame Steph at all then? Y'all to my left. Because somebody at this point in time should have checked Dre. Somebody should have sat down in the locker room. Hey, big dog. Hey, big dog. I need somebody go holler Dre real quick. Do you blame Steph?
I do. It's crazy because... It's crazy that this situation came up because Greg Jennings had tweeted out something. Maybe
former
a couple
teammate
days ago.
Greg
My
Jennings.
Former teammate tweeted up something a couple days ago. And as you can read it right here, he said, my dog JJ is one of the teammates that really held me accountable for when the standard wasn't met. So for me, I always felt like the coaches can say whatever they want to say. Bro, go. When my teammate said it to me, it meant something to me because I don't want to let Greg Jennings down. I don't want to let Jordy Nelson down. I don't want to let 12 down. So it meant something to me if they said, bro, come on, man. Like, what you doing? You late to workouts? You ain't working out hard? Whatever it is, it's like, okay, man, I'm going to get my mind right. I'm going to get in there. So I do blame Clay and Steph because at one point, even right there, I would have walked up to Greg, bro, move. Get out of the ref's face, bruh. We are in the play-in tournament. We are trying to win a game. We need you. All this tough dude stuff that you're doing right now, you're about to get ejected, bruh. Move. So for me, Draymond has to understand it's not just about you. And that's how this man has been playing the games, and that's how he's been getting all these technicals. At one point, you got to say, let me calm down because Clay need me. Let me calm down because Steph need me.
So, wait, my question to you is, so you saying you do blame Steph and you blame Clay, right?
Well, I blame Dre, too, but I'm saying never seen them hold him accountable publicly.
So my thing is, we don't know what's been said from
Clay. We don't.
Clay
that's why
Steph
I said publicly.
Of course. But what I'm saying is, that's not even in them to do all that.
That's my thought. I got to keep it real.
That's your brother.
Hear what I'm going to say, though, Jay. I play with Shady. I do not recall. As talented as Shady is, Shady's just like, look, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do it great. Y'all going to see me. I'm going to get busy on Sundays. If we play on Monday, I'm going to get busy. We play on Thursday, I'm going to get busy. But I don't recall Shady ever, like, checking somebody in front of the whole team. Like, that's just not really how Shady got down. Shady like, I'm going to do me. Y'all do you. That wasn't Shady's responsibility. Jason Peters. Yeah. I don't recall him necessarily publicly
Yeah. By privately, he'll check cats. I don't recall him publicly checking people.
But what I mean by checking and being a teammate, like, even in a certain situation like that, you really close with D-Jack.
My man.
If you know D-Jack has got kicked out of so many games, and he's a big
part
of you having success and your team having success on the outside, and you see this man barking with the refs, it's just as simple as, come on, bro, we need you. That's it. Like, get away from the refs. We need you. What you doing?
That's what I'm saying. No. That's what I'm saying. Like, not everybody trying to be.
At one point, you got to stand up as a teammate and be like, bro, we need you.
But at the end of the day, like, you making a scenario up, but, like, we are people that who we've been for so many years. So, Steph Curry, the way he is now, he was the same way back then.
Yeah.
The same way that Klay was now, he was the same way back then. So everybody's different. There might be a player on a team that might not have the big name, like a Jason Avant.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched him check Deshaun, right? Yeah. Deshaun, my boy. So if he's doing some over and over again, I might say, hey, chill, dog. But I'm saying I'm not going to direct him like a certain, like another player
would. Was that Shady? Was that Iggy? Remember Iggy, Andre Iguodala?
Oh, there's another one.
Couple years back. Remember, he would try to get in Dre and be like, come on, Dre. You can't do this. You can't do it. I recall versus the Grizzlies. Yep. Playoffs. I think it was 2 years ago. Colvin, correct me in my ear if I'm wrong. I think Dre gets ejected versus the Grizzlies. I think it's game one in the title year. Game one. Mm-hmm. Like, how you going to get ejected when y'all on the route to win a championship against the Grizzlies in round one? What are you doing? Yeah. It was only Iggy.
Wait, hold on before you go. The Last Dance with Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Right now, we all know that Rodman was a different brother.
Yeah,
right? He
would
do what he wanted to do.
Yep.
And if you hear when they talk about MJ, he held everybody accountable. He checked everybody a certain way. When it came to Dennis, it was different.
But he went to Vegas to get Dennis.
But no. But even like when, he said Dennis got kicked out of a game or did something wrong, right? Yeah. And instead of saying, hey, Mike, I'm sorry, or just to have that conversation, he said he came there and asked that I want some ice cream into my room to basically say, like, I know I let you down. Yeah. Everybody's just different how you work with each other. That's all I'm trying to say to you. So Steph maybe coming at Draymond might not be the, come on, bro, you tripping, dog. It might not be that. And you can't ask him to be that type of player.
Whatever it is, it ain't helping. Like, it hasn't hit Dre. So the coaches, the commissioner, everybody has done what they gonna do. So what is it gonna take for you to stop doing this? I believe it's your teammates, right? I truly believe it's your teammates. If Steph was just basically in tears. He ain't never been like that. Yeah. That's emotional. We don't know what he thinking. What's Dre doing, man? Dre letting us down. We don't know what's going through Steph's mind. As a teammate, when you see that, you going to continue to keep doing this?
Yeah, here's the thing. I play with dudes, and I'll decide whether or not I want to say their name. James, tell me if you've played with dudes who you can't tell them nothing. Some dudes, when they see red, nobody can calm them down. I'll say it because it's the locker room. Minnesota Vikings, Shady, you were there. It was 2014. We're in Minnesota. Kerry Williams, our cornerback.
Ooh.
We got him from the Ravens. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens in 12. Kerry Williams was a different type. If he saw red, nobody calming him down.
That's true.
Right, it's a true story. It's a true story, family. Y'all in the locker room, so I'm going to tell it to y'all. We getting beat. I don't even know how. I don't know why. We on the sideline. Kerry cussing his DB coach out. I think John Lovett, maybe. Cussing his DB coach out. Linebacker coach, Rick Minner, he tries to say something to him. You know, act like a professional. Kerry, get off me is what he says. Yeah. Then Rick tells D'Amico Ryans, linebacker for us at the time, current head coach for the Houston Texans. Yeah. Cap. He tells D'Amico, you say something to Kerry. Meek tries to say something to Kerry. Kerry just ain't trying to hear nothing. Finally, our defensive coordinator, Billy Davis, has to say, hey, Kerry, you're sitting out the next series. Just nobody, his DB coach couldn't tell
situation?
Him. His linebacker coach couldn't tell him.
Don't matter.
It was a dumb play. I think he thought it was a dumb play call. Uh-huh. Maybe somebody got beat. He was just irate.
Yeah.
Nobody could calm him down. If D'Amico Ryans, the captain of the team, couldn't calm you down, nobody calming him down. It don't matter. Shady can't calm him down. Jack can't calm him down. Yeah. Jason Peters.
That's a good story.
Nobody could calm him down.
I've been around some dudes that seen red. But it's something about when your brother gets in the middle of you and says, bro, calm down, or he grabs you and say, come over here, you still could be irate and all that, but go be irate on the sideline. You understand? You're not about to get ejected. That's all I'm saying. You see this man yelling at the ref. You already know he has a short leash. The man had been ejected from plenty of games. You just grab your teammate, get to the sideline.
Keep it real, keep it real.
It's a lot of kumbaya over there in Green Bay, man.
That was me. Don't nobody care about your attitude. You could have hurt us, bro.
You know wideouts. Let's talk Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith has time after time after time been livid during a game. Wide receiver Steve Smith. Nobody's been able to calm him down.
But see, that's
and you know
saying.
Why else. You
those
know
are, those are different situations, though. This is Steve getting into it combat with other dudes.
That's what Dre doing with refs.
He yelling at the refs. So that's what I'm saying. This, like, if I see one of my teammates, like, man, brother did this to me over there, and he's seeing red, do what you got to do, bro.
He did check his homeboy's chin on the team. That did happen.
Man,
what? You know what I mean?
Like, I'm just going off of me as a teammate. If I'm a teammate with you, I never played with Steve, so I wasn't in the wideout room with Steve. If I was in the wideout room with Steve, I'm sure I would have a relationship with Steve. Obviously, I know Steve. I know how Steve wired. I know how Steve is a competitor and all that. So like I said, if it's a Tlaib situation to Steve, I ain't messing with Steve. If it's Steve in front of the refs, I will grab Steve like, bruh, they about to kick you out. We need you.
Facts.
And I would take him over there. So to me, it's about the situation. He yelling at the refs. We have never once seen Clay or Steph come over there again.
We got to get back to the
match. Slap it. You ain't going to stop it.
Play another hit.
Turn it on. What's on there?
There you go. There you go. Hey, keep meeting your mind. Keep meeting your mind, family. When we return, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, they're going to be repping black and yellow with the Steelers. But who should we be more excited about? We'll be back. Greg, at this team meeting, family. Appreciate y'all joining
us. Hey, yo, it's a lot of kumbaya over there with you, though, bro.
It ain't kumbaya.
Well, speaking of big stories, no bigger story this offseason than the Pittsburgh Steelers signing Russell Wilson. Now, remember, the Steelers get Russell Wilson for the cheap. But on top of that, they made an even bigger splash, signing Justin Fields, the fourth-year quarterback who was a former first-round pick. GM Omar Khan said both Wilson and Fields are really good quarterbacks, and he's, quote, excited about having both play in Pittsburgh. That's cute, but y'all know GMs be lying. We at the desk, we do not. 25 years NFL experience, 3 Super Bowls at this desk, 2-1. James Jones, starting with you, big dog. Yeah. Who are you more excited about? You played with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I believe you played with Brett Favre, if I am not mistaken. You know good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know championship quarterbacks.
Yep.
Russell Wilson got a champion.
Yep.
Justin Fields got talent.
Yeah.
Who are you more excited about in Pittsburgh?
I'm more excited about Fields. And the reason why I'm more excited about Fields is because Fields is 25 years old.
Okay.
Fields is still a young quarterback in this league. You heard Coach Tomlin say there's a lot of meat still left on the
bone. Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying? So if you can get Justin Fields, whether it's 1 year after Russ, 2 years after Russ, to come in here and play at a high level, you have a guy that you could put in your offense as the leader of your franchise for the next 8 to 10 years. If he goes out there, because I truly believe this is a quarterback competition, if he goes out there and beats Russ and comes in here and plays at a decent level, you have a guy at 25 years old that you got for a 6-round pick that can come in there and be the quarterback of your franchise for the next 10 years. You're praying that you get probably 2 solid years out of Russ. So that's why I said, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you want Justin Fields to ball. You want to be able to start him and put him in the game and him play at a high level because you have found your guy for a 6-round pick to lead your franchise for the next 10 years. So for me, I would say Justin Fields.
Mm. You know, about that steak thing, the steak wasn't touched at all. It's a lot of meat on that bone. a lot of meat.
Bite out of it,
oh, man. My God. I'll say this. I'm going to go with Russ. I mean, I don't know what it is about the 10-28 record that Justin Fields had in Chicago. For some reason, he don't want to talk about it or it didn't even happen. But for me, it did. You look at Russ, he's a winner, right? He's a good player. Last year, the year he had with Denver, before they benched him, he was playing good football, winning football, beat some good teams, beat some good quarterbacks. That's what he did. You bring that type of quarterback to the Steelers, a veteran team, veteran defense, the franchise,
pedigree and all that.
The pedigree, all that, the chemistry, like every, I could just, the Steelers football in general, like they've been good for so many years, right? They've been one of the most, not only faithful, but trustworthy franchise you can have, right? There's some teams that you go to, you might be worried, oh, he's going to that team. No, the Steelers, you're in good hands. So I'll just say this, going forward, Russell as a starter with the Steelers team that's been making the playoffs and winning games with that bad roster, you get a quarterback there, they're going to do some different things. With Justin Fields, he's still a project. He's still something that, man, he has a lot of potential, but maybe we can get some good play out of him. Maybe we can get some wins out of him. We don't know that because we haven't seen it. And I can't look past that 10-28 record. I can't do it.
Here's my question, Shady. I'm going to tell the audience a story. Don't know if I've shared it before, but you all, if you watch sports, you know it. Shady, 2013, again, we're on the same team. You're in the backfield. Mike Vick's out wide. Jeremy Maclin, I believe, got hurt. Riley Cooper's out wide. D. D-Jack's out wide. Jeremy Maclin got hurt. Brent Celek's out there. Evan Mathis, offensive line. Jason Peters, offensive line.
Riley Cooper.
Riley Cooper's out there. We start the season, however, with Mike Vick at quarterback. Mm-hmm. 3-5.
Mm. I remember that.
It's crazy. Mm. Mike Vick, 3-5. Yeah. He gets hurt, pulls a hammy versus the New York Giants. Enter a quarterback who's 0-5 or 1-5 as a starter. His name is Nick Foles. Mm. Nick Foles enters at quarterback. He goes 7-1 down the stretch. 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. We go to the playoffs. We finish the season 10-6 after starting 3-5. I say that to say, Shady, is there a world where Justin Fields' ceiling is high enough that maybe he could be the Nick Foles to that story? Mm. Maybe that Russell Wilson is the Mike Vick, if you will, clearly better, had a better career.
No doubt.
But maybe Justin Fields has a higher ceiling at that point in his career. Still young. Foles was still young. We didn't win in the playoffs. We lost to the Saints. But there was a ceiling with Foles. Could Justin Fields come in and am I tripping at all when I bring up that story, that analogy? You lived it. I lived it. Could that happen?
I mean, I guess it could. I mean, anything is possible, right? I mean, the Bible teaches you that. So anything is possible. I mean, but just come on. We got to see this. It's not like this guy had 1 year to play, 2 years to play. No, we've had years to see him play, develop. He's supposed to get better year after year, and he hasn't done it. Every year I see him, it's the same thing. Average in the beginning of the year, we get to the end, he shows some flashes, and we talk about keeping him. So unless he can show me something different, Ancho, and I love the Nick Foles story, right? Because Mike was better than Nick, but Nick did come in there, and he balled, and he did it twice.
Yeah.
He did it twice. He did it with the championship run when the Eagles won the championship, and he did it with the Mike Vick story. But there's a lot of stories, man, where the backup comes in there and he stinks and he's, okay? All right, I don't want to, they don't play good. So I'll just say this. I think for the Steelers, I think Russ and the Steelers are a great matchup. And I think you are right about the potential of Justin Fields.
James,
we just got to see it.
Let me ask you, because we've had these debates often with Shady here and James here. I love moderating the debates, if you will, because Shady has his experience. He played with Pat. He played with Brady. He played with Vic. He played with McNabb.
I played with all the greatest of all time.
Calm down, Shady.
You can argue that.
James Jones, he played with Brett Favre.
Yes, I did.
He played with Aaron Rodgers. James, he won a Super Bowl. 10-6, got it out the mud, that team did. Shady, he won a Super Bowl. Then he won another Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl with the 1 seed. I think he won a Super Bowl with like the 5 or the 6 seed. So there's a lot of experience to my left and to my right that y'all won't find on other shows. James, educate me, if nobody else, educate me on Justin Fields is 10-28. You can't deny that. Mm. His completion percentage, it is porous. You cannot deny that. Mm. The majority of the season, he is not good, statistically speaking. You can't deny that. He does show flashes. He has immense talent, arm strength, running ability.
Aww.
But he doesn't put it together. So how, with all of your competency and all of your football acumen, how can you come on national television to me, to Shady, and to them at home, who are most important, and say that you do believe in Fields and praise Fields? And tell me genuinely why.
My main belief in Fields right now going to the Pittsburgh Steelers is the same belief that I have in Russ going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Has Russ ever carried a team? We talked about that, right? He never carried the Legion of Boom. He never carried a team to a Super Bowl. He was a really good piece to a really good football team. I believe Justin Fields is a really good piece to a really good football team in the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what Justin Fields did show us? That he's not a quarterback capable of carrying a team. That is what the Chicago Bears wanted him to do, right? Before he got DJ Moore, we couldn't say a lot of people on that offensive side on the roster. We couldn't say his defense was playing at a high level. Down the stretch in these last 6 games that I always talk about with him having a winning record, the defense was playing at a high level too. It's not like he was just lighting it up on the stat sheet. The defense was playing at a high level. He was managing the games, making the plays when he had to make the plays. The Steelers won games with Kenny Pickett. Justin Fields is way better than Kenny Pickett. So if you put Justin Fields in there with Justin Fields' ceiling, knowing that he does not have to carry a team, I think you will see a much better Justin Fields. Just like in Russ's career, we've seen a really good Russ not having to carry a team. When we've seen him try to carry a team, it wasn't good.
Did we see Russ carry a team that didn't have a great defense to the playoffs? I'll let you answer that.
1 year?
I'm going to ask you again.
1 year he did.
Did we see Russell carry a bad defense to the playoffs?
1 year he did.
So that'll be yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's my thought, though, Jay.
You said we never seen that.
Well, I'm just saying.
You said we never seen that.
You always say anybody can do 1 year.
You said we never seen that, though.
We did.
Because I do. I will ask you a literal direct question, though, James. Is though Russ didn't carry his Super Bowl teams, and Justin Fields obviously didn't carry his Bears teams, Russ has never had to be carried by a team.
Mm.
Justin Fields has been, and I don't want to use this term because he genuinely, I do think, will have a high ceiling. He's been dead weight. Russ has never in Seattle been dead weight. Ever. Ever. Remember, those Seahawks teams were 7-9 before he got there. 7-9 before he got there. He got there, they instantly won 11. Then instantly won 13 and went to the Super Bowl. So though Russ did not carry the Legion of Boom to the playoffs, he was not carried.
And another thing is being like a – are you trying to put him in that game manager for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, let's just say that. A game manager, I mean, people might have their own narrative on it.
No game.
But the thing about a game manager, you can lose the game, too.
No doubt.
And Russ didn't do that.
Yeah.
We had a great defense, well-coached. We had a great running game. I'm not going to mess this up. Your boy in Chicago, though.
He messed it up.
Yeah. I've watched him lose games for them boys. Mm-hmm. I've watched him have the lead, mm-hmm. try to steal the game away, yeah. and he lose the game.
I've seen that too.
And another thing about Kenny Pickett, he's 14-10, though.
See?
He's 14-10, though.
And got carried.
And your man 10-28.
But he got carried by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey, man, right? I don't know if it's carried.
It wasn't they winning because of Kenny Pickett.
They both was bad.
Say that. But I believe for a lot of Russ' career, the Legion of Boom did carry that team. And the reason why I say that is because if you're a quarterback and you have to deliver on a game-winning drive and make one or two plays in a football game, you are getting carried. The Legion of Boom was the best position, group, whatever, on the field. They won games for the Seattle Seahawks, too. I'm not sitting here saying Russell Wilson is a bad quarterback. Not at all. But what I'm saying is he was on teams to where he did not have to do a lot.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that he lost games for him or whatnot, but he did not have to do a lot. Justin Fields has never been on a team like that to where he did not have to carry a team and really do a lot.
Wouldn't you say there are three categories, America? And I haven't ever heard of this third category. We only talk about game changers, game managers, but there are game losers.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson might not be a game changer.
True. Okay.
But he's never been a game loser. Put him in the game manager category. Justin Fields, someone could very convincingly make a case in front of court.
Right here.
Shady could very convincingly make a case in front of court that Justin Fields is a game loser. So you cannot put Justin Fields in Russ's category. Call Russ a game manager, fine.
But
I don't know if Justin Fields has earned that right.
But that's my thing. When did Russ have to be that game changer and then his team lost games? When did he have to be that? In Denver!
Hold up, but when you say game loser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you manage the game, you have everything you're talking about, the defense and all that, don't lose this game, because I've seen dudes do it. Your boy, right, Justin Fields, I've seen him lose games. I've had parlays, oh, we're going to lose, and then he loses, oh, we won, because he lost the game for him.
Bruh,
it happens.
We're sitting here right now, right? And you could blame any of these coaches we want, because Justin Fields has had plenty of coaches. When Russ went to Denver, all we said was, they got a chance to go to the Super Bowl with this defense. And after that first year, we saying all Russell Wilson and that team needed to do is score 17 points, and they won like 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
He could not do that. Then the next year, he gets benched. However we want to say it, played well, Sean Payton don't lie, however we want to say it. If he was balling and winning games, he would have never got benched. So what I'm saying is the only time Russell Wilson truly had to say, team on my back, and I will carry us each week to win games, is when he went to Denver. And we did not see him get that done.
But to Shady's point, remember, in 2016, 2017, 2018, Legion was gone. Seahawks defense was bad.
He forgets this part.
And he Russell went to the playoffs once.
Well, he only won one playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, during the course of that stretch, but he was still 9 consecutive Pro Bowls. Legion was only there 11, 12, 13, 14. By 15, Legion had started to fracture. By 16, Legion was basically evaporating.
He went to the playoffs one time without the Legion.
How did he play when the Legion was done, though? How did he play?
I'm saying he played
well. Solid,
but I'm
right?
saying he went all, to the playoffs
All I'm saying
once.
Is, I just feel like this, man. At the best of if you look at both these quarterbacks, who's at their best? We're going to take Russ. But another question is this. At their worst.
That part.
Who
that's
plays?
My fear.
At their worst,
my
who is
fear.
That?
That's my fear.
It's Justin.
That's my fear.
He be playing bad, man. He be playing bad. Like bad.
We're going to see how this unfolds.
Bad. Like, he gets crazy with it. Picks, bad throws, bad reads.
I'm rocking with Justin.
I feel it. Well, we will keep our eyes on that. We got to transition, though. Do y'all realize there's only a 5-game difference between 5 seeds? From the 6-seed Dallas Mavericks to the 10-seed Golden State Warriors, there's only a 5-game difference. So who is the most dangerous bubble team? Can any of those latter half teams compete for a title? This will get good. Next. All right, family, let's get to the Western Conference. The most interesting storyline that we're not talking enough about is the bubble teams in the West. Get this, only 5 games separate the 5 seeds from 6 through 10. Now, we already know Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, they're with the Mavs. Kevin Durant, Brooke, Beal, they're with the Suns. Let's jump to the 9 seed. You already know LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and then Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Chris Paul, Klay Thompson with the Warriors. A lot of championship pedigree on those teams, but not a lot of spots remain. Shady, starting with you, I could not wait to hear your answer to this when we derive this question. Which one of these bubble playoff teams is scariest? Which one of these teams could you see competing for a title, whether it's the 6th seed, the 7th seed, 8th seed, 9th seed, 10th seed in the West?
I look at chemistry and I look at matchups, and I got to go with the Mavericks.
Ooh!
Ain't they been rolling right now? They've won 5 in a row, right? They've been balling. I think out of all these teams, look at all the players. In my opinion, I got to go with Luka as the best player of everybody.
Okay.
Right?
I'm mad at that.
In the play-in.
Brother balling. You can't guard him. He puts you on foul trouble. He slows the game down. He sees the floor so well. And then I remember him taking the Mavericks 2 years ago to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Right? Now you get Kyrie Irving. Now they gelling. They shooting the ball well. And then look, these dudes are averaging about 60 points a game. What can you do with them? I've been watching them playing on the road at home. They look good. So I'm going to go with the Mavericks.
I like that. I like the Mavericks.
They're talented, bro.
They have been rolling. I'm going with KD and the Suns. You have 3 premier scores on the offensive side of the ball. You have a winning record against the number 1 seed this season in the Denver Nuggets. I believe they are the biggest problem for the Denver Nuggets. KD can get a bucket whenever he wants. Book can get a bucket whenever he wants. Bill can get a bucket whenever he wants. They are a matchup problem for any team. I am taking the Suns. If they can get rolling, and you got Nurkic down there rebounding, playing defense. This is a really good team if they can get rolling. When the big 3 play, they shooting 53% from the field. They scoring a bunch of points. It's going to be hard to stop these dudes. I'm taking the Suns.
Shady, I'm with the Suns, but here's why. And tell me if and why I'm wrong. It's at the end of the day, you have to beat the Nuggets.
Yes, you do.
You got to beat the Nuggets.
And they have beat them.
So I don't really care how good you are in the Western Conference versus everybody else. All I care about is, can you beat the Nuggets? What we don't talk enough about in sports, and Shady, we've brought this up at times, sports is about matchups. Mm-hmm. What teams do, particularly, I'll go NFL quick, and then I'll cut back to NBA, in the draft is, can we win our division?
Yep.
So if you're currently in the AFC West, you're not trying to beat the Niners.
No,
you're only saying, can we beat Patrick Mahomes? Mm-hmm. That's it. You draft a roster to beat Pat. You draft linemen to beat Pat. Because the most important thing is, can you beat Pat?
And win the division.
If you in the West, the only thing that matters, can you beat the Nuggets? While I do believe the Mavs might be better than the Suns match up better versus the Nuggets.
Yeah, they do.
So for me, it's got to be the Suns being the biggest threat because the Suns are the only legitimate team in my mind that can knock off the Nuggets. They're 2-1 versus the Nuggets this year. They went 2-2 through the first 4 games of the playoff series versus the Nuggets last year. They lost 4-2, but they're a much improved team. Shady, respond to that aspect of it. Like, the Nuggets match up well.
Yeah, no, they do. That's a great point. I just think, man, when I watch all these guys, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, because I always thought that in this league, I haven't seen anybody score at the level of Kevin Durant, right, since Kobe Bryant. And even that was different because you're talking about a 7-footer, can dribble, can shoot, can do it. I can play anywhere.
Yeah.
But when you watch Luka, man, he controls the whole game. Not only does he control the game, he controls the pace. Mm-hmm. He wears you down over and over again. He sees the whole floor. And the first question was, what NBA team in the bubble team is the scariest? He's the scariest offensive player we've seen. Mm. And then you add in Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
So with the first group and the second group, you got offensive scores everywhere. So that's a great point with the Suns. I just think that with the Mavericks, man, they a scary group.
Let me throw this out to y'all. Y'all are champions here at this desk. Y'all have championship pedigree yourself. If you think about the Mavs, let's be honest. Luka, closest he's gotten is Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kidd is a coach. He hasn't won it, though, as a player. Shout out to Jason Kidd, 2011 Dallas Mavericks. Thank you for that. I'm born in Dallas. I was at the parade. Appreciate you. But as a coach, Jason Kidd hasn't done it. Meanwhile, in the West, the Warriors, they need no introduction. Y'all know what time it is. The Lakers, LeBron, AD, y'all know what type of time it is. The Suns, Frank Vogel, he's done it. Kevin Durant, he's done it. Y'all know what type of time it is. But the Mavs, you got Kyrie.
Yeah.
But Kyrie without LeBron, we also don't have to talk about it, but he ain't won nothing, nor has he gotten close to winning anything.
Shady,
does that matter? Like, does it matter that if it push comes to shove, the Mavericks, only one person knows how to get there, it's Kyrie, and does Kyrie really know how to get there?
I watched Luka take that team,
yes, sir.
And this time they weren't that good,
yeah,
to the Western Conference Finals,
yes, sir,
against the Warriors, right? And now you add in Kyrie Irving. But then another thing is, when we talk about this players and teams, like AD, how much sprints does AD have without LeBron?
Not a ton.
Kevin Durant, great player. He's one of my favorites. You know that. He's the God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what type of sprints he got without
Steph? And
without Steph Curry? Mm-hmm. Come on. So as much as you want to do this and do that, I could do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, though, too, though.
Come on.
And the reason why I mean, the Mavs are playing good basketball right now. But in the playoffs, we know intensity, everything, violence, everything. So the refs letting a lot of stuff go, you're going to have to defend. This team ain't never defended. You know what I'm saying? At least with the Suns, KD going to defend, Book going to defend. Like, you have guys that's going to defend and they can score. And at any given point of time, it's a walking bucket. If you need a bucket, go to Book, go to KD. It's a walking bucket. So for me, just the problems and the matchups that the Suns present to the Nuggets, the number one seed, is a problem.
Why have neither of you all mentioned the Lakers? LeBron James family, he was just in the Western Conference Finals. The Mavericks, I don't even know if they made the playoffs last year. They missed it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
The Suns, they didn't make it to the finals. The Lakers were there. Shady, you haven't mentioned the Lakers. James, you haven't mentioned the Lakers. Why have I not heard the Lakers and LeBron James from either of y'all?
I mean, it'll be a good pick. I think they're a good team. We've seen them come out to play in last year, the Western Conference Finals. So it's not like it's not possible. They're just so up and down for me. I mean, they got some games. They look unbeatable. Like, mm-hmm. Whoa, you see them guys, you see AD? Wow, you see LeBron? Is he 25 again? And then there's some games, like, what the hell are they doing? Where's Austin Reeves at? I can't find him. D-Lo, shoot the ball extremely well. Phenomenal. Then there's some games, like, yo, is he trying to play or is he trying to get traded? So that's why the Lakers is just so inconsistent for me. With the Mavericks, man, that Luka, man. Even though the players we talking about, I gotta say right now, he might be the best.
Yeah. You know, I'm with him. You put up a really good graphic yesterday of AD, LeBron scored 60 points, whatever this is, what it is.
Three columns.
But the last one was Rui.
Yeah.
D'Lo.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
I can't trust them every night on a consistent level. And the reason why I can't, because they ain't showed me this season
really
consistently.
Well,
so I can't really trust the Lakers because they're not going to win if those three dudes are not consistent.
Incredibly well said. Phenomenal conversation. On the other side of this commercial break, Sean Payton, you know who he couldn't trust? Russell Wilson. Low-key offensive words when Sean Payton was asked if it was a difficult decision to release Russell Wilson. He gave a resounding no. Who has more pressure in the divorce, Russ or Peyton? That's next on Peyton. Well, Russell Wilson, he found a new home in Pittsburgh, while Sean Payton and the Broncos have no clear answer at quarterback. And they'll be paying $39 million for Russell Wilson to play for the Steelers. At this week's owners meeting, Payton was asked if cutting Wilson was a difficult decision. And without hesitation, he answered, quote, no, close quote. It actually was fairly offensive as I was listening to it. At least lie, Sean Payton. Act like it was hard. Like when somebody asks, hey, you know, was it hard to break up with them? Nah, I didn't really want to break up with her. I just, you know, it was really tough. It wasn't you, it was me. Sean Payton was like, no.
Sean said, he know what it is. She know what it is.
That
it's a wrap.
Crazy to me. Shady, you have been in a unfortunate situation before where the Philadelphia Eagles, they traded you to the Buffalo Bills. New coach Chip Kelly, he decided he no longer needed your services, and it did not appear, at least at the time, he was that remorseful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton, he no longer wants Russell Wilson's services. It does not appear at the time he's that remorseful about it. No better person to talk to with this conversation than you. Who has more pressure in the divorce, Russ, Payton?
I'm going to say Russ, right? And this is the reason why. When a team wants to trade you, right, and let's say they trade you for a bag of chips like I was traded for, and if I go to Buffalo and I don't perform, it's like, okay, well they was right. They was on to something. Maybe he was declining. But if you go to another team and you dominate and you average in them 3 years 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns like I did.
Who did that?
The other team, they feel it. Yeah. Man, coach, you was tripping, this and that. So if you ever see this story when everybody talks about the Chip Kelly trade, they talk about him. Man, he messed up that team. He got rid of Shady. He got rid of Deshaun. But if we don't go out there and ball, yeah. it's like nothing ever even happened. Yeah. So the pressure's on Russ. Russ goes out there and balls out with the Steelers, we're going to be looking crazy as Sean Payton in the
really good point.
What Broncos. What happened to
Chip?
Chip. Did he end up
getting... We went 10-6 uh-huh. after Shady left.
Yep.
No, the year after Shady left. No. We were terrible.
We went
6-9, had DeMarco Murray, had Sam Bradford. Chip got fired before the season ended in 2020.
Wait, that's a great point. Wait. So you want to get rid of an all-pro running back to get, I guess, another good running back, right?
Don't take my stuff now.
No, that's not what I'm saying. So then he don't ball. And then look, Chip, they fired Chip.
Yeah.
And Chip then fired. Chip goes to San Francisco. Mm. His first game against the Buffalo Bills, he played me. Mm. You want to know them numbers?
You weren't busy?
Not one touchdown. Oh, not two touchdowns.
Not two.
Three touchdowns. A bucks up. And I was like, this, bye. Hey, Chip, bye. Yeah. So anyway, you can go.
So I only brought that up because all the pressure's on Sean Payton. What's the plan? What was the plan after Shady? We thought we had a plan. Murray, what was my
Sam
man
Bradford,
name? Matthews or whatever.
Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, we thought we had a plan.
I'm like, where you going with this, James?
Shady. But we didn't. And it ended up in me getting fired because I let really good players walk out of there, right? I'm not saying Jerry Jeudy is Deshaun Jackson, but Jerry Judy's a good receiver. You let him walk, he goes to Cleveland to get paid. You let Russell Wilson walk, he goes to Pittsburgh. What is the plan? If you have a quarterback coming in here who doesn't have a lot of weapons to throw to and your team is not good, you are going to get fired. So the pressure for me is if you don't find this right guy at the quarterback spot because you done bash rush to everybody, to the whole world, and you don't find a quarterback to come in here in your system to play at a high level, you are going to end up getting fired. So for me, all the pressure is on him.
Hey, look real quick. In that game against Chip, I was acting crazy. Hey, I was spiking him off, throwing him, looking at him first down. I'm on that sideline like, yeah, what's up? Looking at him. I gotta be mature back then. You know?
For context,
bag of chips, you gotta act a fool.
Shady McCoy had 19 carries for a buck 40 and three tugs.
Three tinkers.
Three of them, family. Three of them. Let me ask y'all this though. What? Say both things happen. What's wrong, Shady?
Hey, let's go. Quick two, boy. They thought I was lying. Like Shady always guesses numbers. So thank you.
Family, say both things happen, right? Say Sean Payton balls. Say the Steelers ball. Mm. Say both teams go 10-7 this year. Mm-hmm. Have good years. Not elite years. Have good years. Both teams go 10-7. Both teams make the playoff. Is the sixth seed, is the seventh seed. Do either look crazy? Do they both look good? Does Payton still look crazy? Who wins in that situation?
I think we forget about it then. It's a wash, right?
I like that.
But then if they go to playoffs, they both lose in the first round, like this for example?
You said if both go
10-7.
They do the same thing.
Get some more praise and all that?
Yeah.
For me, I would say more praise goes to the Denver Broncos and Payton because he ain't winning 10 games. If we really keep it to the buck, you let Simmons go, you let Russ go, you let Jeudy go, you done let all your players go. So, and you're about to have a rookie quarterback come in here and try to lead you to 10 games, and you have Raiders, you have Chiefs, you have new Chargers with Harbaugh. I don't see that happening. Russ, your team won 9 games without you, strictly on defense. So, listen here, he ain't winning 10 games, so if that does happen, I would say Payton will get more of the credit because, Russ, we think you at least good for 3-4 wins, right? We should be sitting here 12, 13 wins with you, with the team we got. If Sean's able to get 10 out of this roster he has with his young quarterback, I think he should get more of the credit.
Mm-hmm. I would go wash. Mm-hmm. If they do the exact same thing.
But with a really good Steelers team? Like, you think that's a success if the Steelers win 10 games and they won 9?
We still got to see it. I haven't seen the Steelers look really, really good lately. Have you? What I'm saying is that both teams haven't been looking good, but some way with a better coach and Mike Tomlin, he's found a way to get his team to the playoffs. I'm just saying that they look good and they look convincing and they go to playoffs. We can't say it's not the same exact thing.
10-6 or 10-7 get these teams to the playoffs?
To the playoffs. Let me ask y'all this. Speaking of looking, Deshaun Payton looked crazy. Chip looked crazy 2-5 when he released you because you led the league in rushing a year prior.
And I was third. That year he let me go, I was third.
Let you go, you were third in rushing. 2013, you led the league in rushing. So he released you, he looked crazy. Then it added insult to injury because we were terrible. DeMarco was bad. Ryan Matthews didn't do much of anything. Then you went to Buffalo, and eventually you got busy as always. But Russell Wilson didn't look like Shady McCoy. I mean, it's not like Russell Wilson was led the league in passing yesterday. He didn't. Does Sean Payton look crazy to y'all right now, given that he has no contingency plan at quarterback? Or y'all just like, you know what, wait and see?
I think Denver was, they were so up and down, especially on offense, too. I mean, they didn't look good. We talked about Jerry Jeudy, but he didn't really show me much, right? Cortland Sutherland, he played well at times. The running back game was up and down with injuries. So, and Russ, he played well, but you can't forget about the first year. He looked awful.
Yeah.
So I can't say that Coach Sean Payton looked crazy by doing it.
I don't think he looked crazy by the way Russ played, letting him go. But he looked crazy by the way he treated Russ.
I would agree with that.
100%. You know what I mean? Like, from the get-go, the way he treated Russ, it looked crazy. And, yes, Russ didn't hold his end of the bargain up playing at a high level, winning a bunch of games. So he was able to let Russ go. And we all can sit here and say, well, Russ wasn't at his best. First year, garbage. Second year, he was average. They didn't win a lot of games.
Question
so he doesn't
y'all.
Look crazy for
Question
basketball.
For y'all. Question for y'all. Haven't asked this before. Don't know if anybody would on television. How much do y'all put on Russ for getting treated any type of way? I believe that you let people treat you a certain type of way. Russ had defensive linemen cussing him out. I don't even know name defensive linemen. You got your head coach talking to you crazy. You don't talk back. You got everybody in the Legion of Boom, just about everybody, saying this, that, and the third. Your former running back, Marshawn Lynch, saying he got to call your publicist to get a hold of you. Like, how much? Because at this point in time, low-key everybody, analysts and television personalities included, have tried Russell Wilson. So how much do y'all put on Russ? Like, hey, man.
Well, first off, we didn't hear none of that coming out of Seattle when they was playing together. We heard a lot of that when they weren't playing together. In Denver, we heard all of that while they was playing together. So
point.
For me, I blame Sean Payton, because if Shady is a star running back and coach treating Shady a certain way, you know what the player's going to do? Treats Shady a certain way. If my man Andy Reid coming in there, mother effing Shady, and get over here and saying this stuff in the media, you know what the players gonna think? Shady ain't no, you ain't the leader of the team, bro. What you, they gonna come at Shady like that. So I blame Sean Payton from that standpoint, because he kind of set the tone of how he was going to treat Russ. And the players kind of follow behind that, like, okay, coach treating him like that, we could treat him like that. And we all know quarterbacks, whether we like it or not, when you are a superstar one, it's treated different.
Yeah. But some of them coaches be trying to, like, make everybody equal, right? I hate when they do that. Andy Reid don't do that, right? He gonna treat everybody with respect. But, yeah, Pat gonna get treated different.
No doubt.
DeSean Jackson, he gonna get treated different. 2-5 is gonna get treated different. But a lot of coaches don't like to believe that. I look at the Patriots at a point in time, right? You got Tom Brady in the building. How you don't make him feel super comfortable?
Yeah.
Right? And I won't get into details, because that's my guy and all that, but I got a lot of friends over there, him and other guys, and it's like, you got the best quarterback to ever play the game. How you can't treat him a little different? You want to cuss him out in the meetings?
Yeah.
Think about that, though. He couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you got to blame the coaches, though, because 100%. There was things that he probably didn't like that Tom had his own workout guy in the building. He complained about it. So what? We winning games with it. We're compared to Russ. It's like, yo, when you're giving this guy all this power and he's not producing, then you want to try to change the narrative of it.
Yeah.
My thing is, though, don't give me that and then take it away.
Yep.
You should have blamed the coaches in the front office that gave me this before I got here.
Yeah.
I just hate when coaches try to control so much of everything.
Well, speaking of getting treated differently, nobody is getting the treatment that Caitlin Clark is getting.
And they should. She the best.
When we return, we got to head back to the locker room, family, and have a completely unfiltered discussion on Caitlin Clark. Y'all love or hate all of the praise she is getting. It is about to get good. I promise you don't want to miss it. Go fill up your water, turn up the volume, and get ready to come back. That's next on Speak.
Hey, we've been running the ball a little bit too much lately, man.
I think we got to
throw that ball down the field, bro.
Well, how are we going to win if I don't get the ball?
And you 2 yards a carry,
no.
Bro, we got...
Oh, that's impossible.
If you've never been in an NFL locker room, a locker room professionally, allow us to welcome you into the...
Hold on. Turn the volume off, man.
We talking here. We talking, big dog. All right, fellas, this is the most polarizing conversation in all of sports right now. It's the conversation about Caitlin Clark. And I will be honest, I am starting to hate all of the praise that she is getting. I'm not hating it because I'm a hater. I'm hating it for her. Most recently, Ice Cube of the Big Three, he offered her $5 million to join the Big Three League. Here's why I hate it. Because people have a schizophrenic relationship with winners. When you're an underdog, they feel impelled to root for you. But if you're up too long, you better grab a helmet. And Caitlin Clark has now become up for too long because now haters jumping out the woodworks. Now everybody's like, wait a second. Why are you offering her $5 million to play in the league? Why is she getting a 96-page story in magazine issues? Why is she getting all this attention? There's been Candace Parkers. There's been Skylar Diggins. There's been Maya Moores. There's been Lisa Leslie's. Why just now all the attention for Caitlin Clark? Reason I hate it is because people are starting to paint a bullseye on her back.
Yeah.
And she ain't got nothing to do with the paint or the brush. Mm-hmm. So that's where I stand on a Caitlin Clark conversation. But we in the locker room. Let's talk about it.
You already know. The harder you ball, the bigger the target on your back. Point blank, period. True. Not just by the people you playing against, but by the media, by the people out there talking, writing these stories. That's just what comes with this. But Caitlin Clark is really bringing a bunch of attention to the WNBA. When this young lady gets drafted, it is going to be a bunch of eyes on the WNBA. And one thing mama always told me, life ain't fair. Shady, your pack is fatter than mine, Shady, right? I'm supposed to be mad at Shady? No. That's life. So at the end of the day, this young lady is out there balling, right? Bringing a lot of eyes to the women's game. This women's game is more watched than the NCAA men's bracket. Like, what she is doing for the women's basketball is phenomenal. So everybody that want to take a shot at her needs to sit back and chill because she is doing some great stuff for the WNBA, for college basketball, for women. And life ain't fair. $5 million because we know. If she in the Big Three, we turn it into watchers. And so does Ice Cube know that too, right? So, and it might be different if they say Skylar Diggins in the Big Three, you turn it into watch it?
No.
Right? Life ain't fair. This young lady has a huge name. She's a baller. I mean, this man call her
Caitlin Curry Clark.
There it is.
She's that good, though. And another thing is, like, these people hating on her.
Why?
I don't know why. Give her flowers. I think it's like, if I'm a really good player and you're a good player, but they give you more hype, it's like now I'm upset about it. But we got to give her credit because she's giving so much more light to the game of basketball for females. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a chance to watch the pro basketball. Now, I always had to do it for my work, right? But there's some games I was like, we ain't going to cover this tomorrow. And it's Iwan. I'm watching Iwan. I'm watching her. Her game is so big because we haven't seen nobody like her. We've seen great players. Yeah. Like Maya Moore, she was phenomenal.
She was
my favorite basketball player, female basketball player, is Candace Parker. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal player. Oh. But I got to be honest, I haven't seen nothing like Caitlin Clark. She looks like Steph Curry, but it's a lot lighter and a different gender. She's that good, and everybody should love what she's doing for the game. No, she's making men want to watch, making women want to watch, making more kids want to watch. She's bringing love to
the game. But, Shady, let's be real, big dog, because y'all human, I'm human, you human, we human, we all human. When somebody starts to get too much praise, and you feel like other people should be getting praise, the hate starts to come out.
Yeah.
So do you think that all of this attention and all of this praise will end up being bad for Caitlin Clark? Skylar Diggins had an interview when she said, look, I remember being a rookie in the WNBA. Cats was mad because of how much praise I was getting. Remember, Drake was wearing Skylar Diggins jerseys when Skylar Diggins was in Notre Dame. So she will have a target on her back, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's a lot better than old girl from Skylar Diggins. And I feel like when you are that good, like, it's respected differently. Like, having attention, there's some players that got a lot of attention I play against. I'm like, man, he's good, but he ain't all that. Mm-hmm. There's some players like, yo, everything he's getting, he deserves. And I think she's in that category. And without her, I don't know if we'll be watching the basketball like this, no, female basketball, because I won't be watching it.
I wouldn't.
Last year, you know, it was a lot of talk about Angel Reese, right? And I think some of it's her play, but other things was the antics she was doing and the gestures and this and that and the culture she was bringing out. When I watched 22 from Iowa, ain't none of that. Yeah. It's straight basketball.
Yeah.
That's why they hating on her.
Yeah, well, hopefully she's watching this segment because
I love her.
No matter how we want to talk about it, slice it or dice it, when she walks into whatever WNBA team she's walking into, she's going to get everybody best shot.
True.
When she steps on the court, it is going to be girls calling her out and wanting to guard her to let her know she ain't like that. That's just what comes with you being a superstar player. I remember when Steph Curry got unanimous MVP and all that, Bron felt some type of way about that. And when he played him in the finals, you see how he was mugging him after he blocked? Like, he felt some type of way, like, this dude that much better than me, I'm finna show him. So you just got to be prepared for that. No matter what, it's going to happen. You're going to have to go out here and compete. It's going to be these women hey, guarding you, talking junk, all, you're going to have to be ready for that. And she has shown that she'll re-respond to that and ball out.
One thing I love about her, though, and her and all the other greats, look at the Kobe Bryant, the Michael Jordans, right? These type of dudes that they get a lot of attention. They don't care. Cool. You heard I'm nice? I'm going to show you.
I'm still be nice.
She got that dog. Yeah, and I'm going to say this about Caitlin Clark.
We got a team meeting in about 20 seconds.
Everybody from the hood can understand this. If you grew up in the hood, you play basketball, you play football,
yeah.
There might have been a white boy, right? The only one on the court.
Yep.
Might have been a white girl, the only white girl on the court.
Yep.
That nobody really wanted to guard.
Yep.
And it was her. And everybody was like, yo, you got the white girl. Because you didn't want to record, because you already know what she's doing.
If you had a chance, you was picking him or her first. Hey, give me, come on.
Hey, coach, that team meeting, y'all. Team meeting.
You already know.
Appreciate y'all joining us in the locker room. On the flip side of the commercial break, Andy Reid, he threw out the first pitch in the game, and we just going to talk about it.
I'm about to text him like, yo, your pitching is
It's opening day in Major League Baseball, and Andy Reid threw out the first pitch for the Royals. He brought the Lombardi Trophy to the mound. Not sure which one he brought of his three. And he got some love from the crowd. He threw a strike to Royals legend George Brett.
There it is.
You got to love it. Shady, what you think you can call the coach?
He a bad boy, man. What can he do? You kick the football, right? Murder punt.
That pump-ass kick.
Pump-ass kick. Now he throwing pitches, man. What can he do?
There you go. You see the flick of the wrist, though?
Look at that wrist. Look at that wrist.
Hey. Now, here's the thing, though. How you feel about the fact that he wasn't on the mound, man? He wasn't on the mound, Jay. He wasn't on the mound too far.
We got to give our dog. He's a little older. We got to give
him. Belichick, you ain't say all that. Don't say all that by Andy Reid, now.
You right.
Nice pitch, though.
Three times Super Bowl champion.
Look how he walking out there like, this is what I do. Hold that one. I'm about to get another one.
Hold the other one. He got the little cannon loose.
He probably walked off and said, I'll see y'all next year.
Hey, he be trying to order. I'm going to put another ring on your finger.
Another one.
Put another ring on your finger.
Family, appreciate y'all hanging with us. Race Hugs is next.